You know what day today is? It's the first day of the week. We call it Sunday. But you know, the stock market's closed today. So, anybody dabble in the stock market? Ah, I did have a little finger raised. Good, good, good. I do. I don't anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore. but a congressman who knows a certain bill's coming up to a vote, and he knows that it's sure to pass, and the passage of that bill would greatly affect a particular company in which their stock would just skyrocket, if that congressman went out and bought a bunch of that stock and made a whole ton of money, you know that's illegal? It's called insider trading. But in our scripture, we have the Apostle Peter. He has some inside information that a fiery trial is coming upon the church. And it's not illegal for him to share it. So, here we go. We're going to be opening our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. God bless you, sister. Let's read a few verses here. Starting in verse 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Peter starts out verse 5 with the word likewise. Why likewise? Likewise is kind of like that word, therefore. Well, likewise means, remember way back in chapter 2, where Peter was talking to adults, that's us, and he says, submit to the authorities that God has put in place. And so now he says, just like that, you young people, you submit to your elders. So his first comment, right out of the chute, was, young people, submit to the older people. Now, I know there are people that have told me, I don't read my Bible because it's too complicated, I don't understand it. Okay. But let's hold on a second. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Is that complicated? That sounds pretty clear to me. Now, if I was a well-known, famous radio preacher, I would repeat it one more time, because that's what they do, but I'm not going to do that. Young people are prone. I'm speaking in generalities here. I'm not pointing at you guys. Young people are prone to despise their seniors. They regard them as antiquated. I'm regarded as antiquated. One reason is because of this. So they tend to be impatient with us older folk. And they put more trust in the characteristic of their youth than in the mellow wisdom of age. Doesn't that sound good? The mellow wisdom of age. I wonder if that's why Scripture urges the younger to be sober-minded. Titus 2:6. But really, they got to learn to keep in check, and that's hard, all these unrestrained desires. And remember, the experience of years gives a whole lot of weight to the opinions and the advice of their elders. So now I'm going to repeat it. The young must surrender to the elder. There, I've done it. But God's word, he speaks, and he speaks the truth all the time to us, if we would only listen. Proverbs 16:31. Yeah. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in a way of righteousness. All the elbows going out. Sure. It is this person that the Bible's talking about that the young people should submit themselves. Because respectful for age is graceful, and it's becoming of the young. Plus, it has the sanction of Holy Scripture. Now, I'm always amazed when I'm talking to a young person and they call me sir. And I tell them, you don't have to do that. That's it. And I have heard the remark out of their mouth saying, that's the way I was brought up. Whoa. Okay. Now, before anybody in these rows think they have an advantage over the person that's sitting next to them because maybe you're a year older, we got to look at the second line here. And the second line says, all of you be submissive to one another. That goes down a little hard because that's implying some of us old folks be a little submissive to you young folks. We are all to respect everyone, no matter what their condition is. Old, young, smart, dumb, doesn't matter. Because the true Christian will respect the feelings of the most humblest person. And that's because all people are creatures of the one Father. He created us all in His image. We are all redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are all dear to the Savior. He loves us all. Therefore, there's that word. The Christian, in a true sense, will be subject to all. And he will clothe himself with humility. Did not our Lord choose to wear the same clothes, humility? He girded himself with a towel. He knelt down and he washed his disciples' feet, setting the example for us to do as he has done. And he did that so that we would be willing to submit ourselves to humble works of love for the lowliest of our brethren. It's hard work. There's plenty of it. But the rewards are great. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. the heart that is filled with pride has no room for the grace of God. It's already full up with itself. Constant thoughts of self just drive out the holy thought of God. It's the presence of God that's the secret of holiness. And without that presence, there's no spiritual life whatsoever. It's only the lowly heart that can abide in Christ, because they obey the calling of Christ. They turn away from themselves, so to speak. They turn away from restless pursuit of self-interest, and they go into this quiet, solemn sphere of the Savior's presence. They abide in that presence, and what does Scripture say? He abides in them. In the spiritual life, which comes from Him who is life, it's like yeast. It spreads itself throughout their whole being and brings forth fruit of holiness. Now, one of the benefits of this kind of a relationship with God is the privilege of letting Him take care of our burden. According to verse 7, cast all your care upon Him. We must, once and for all, give all our cares. The past ones we're worrying about, the present ones we're going through, and the ones we think we're going to go through tomorrow. Which we may never, but we think about it, and we worry about it. We have to cast all of them to the Lord. And now, do not give these cares over to Him piecemeal, a little at a time. I like to keep the little ones that I think I can deal with to myself. But what happens is soon they become big ones. And then they either crush me or I give them over to Him then. So why not just give Him everything right away? Small, intermediate, and huge cares. And every time a brand new one arises, by faith, remind the Lord, I already gave that to you. And remind yourself that you've already turned that over to Christ. Does that sound good? How does God show His love and His caring for us when we give our cares to Him? How do we know? Oh, I think He blesses us. And I wrote down four ways that I think He blesses us when we just give everything over to Christ and don't worry about it anymore. The first thing He does, He gives us courage to face those cares. We face them honestly and we don't run away. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand, says the Lord. The second thing is He gives us wisdom to understand the situation. When you don't understand what you're going through, you can't deal with it. So He gives us this wisdom to understand. James, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all liberally That means in great abundance and without reproach, and it will be given to you. The third thing is he gives us strength to do what we must do. Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we come to number four. And he gives us the faith to trust him to do the rest. That's Psalm 37. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. It doesn't say he might bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. And so now Peter goes on in verse 8 and 9. He says, now be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We have cares because we have an enemy. It's Satan. And Satan, as the serpent, deceives even the garden. Satan, as the lion, devours. Now, the word Satan means adversary. And the word devil means the accuser, the slanderer. Does not Scripture say he stands and accuses us day and night before God? Oh, see, he can't go to heaven. Look what he's done. Jesus says, I took care of that. I paid the price for that. He's righteous in my eyes now. Now, Peter's writing to these Christians who are spread out all over the Roman Empire, and they have already experienced the attacks of the slanderer. And to some extent, we have too. And he says, now you're going to meet the lion in a fiery trial to come. And I think that trial's coming to us too. So, how do we get victory over our adversary? Well, we can get victory by utilizing the three R's. I know what you're thinking, but they're not reading, writing, and arithmetic. Where they ever got the word arithmetic, I don't know. That's a W, isn't it? My first R is respect him. This is Satan we're talking about. Respect him because he is dangerous. I do all the repairs around my house. I even do electrical wiring, and I'm not afraid of it. That's because I respect it. I know what will happen if I touch that terminal there. You know the sign, wet paint, don't touch? Well, hot electrical panel, don't touch. I don't touch it, just to see if it's hot. I use an electrical meter. But Satan is a dangerous enemy. He's a serpent that can just bite us when we least expect it. You think you've got a handle on that? And snap, up he comes. He's a destroyer, and he has great power and intelligence. And he's got a whole host of demons behind him who help him out. And that makes him a very formidable enemy. So do not ever joke about him. Don't ignore him. And never, 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 triple negative, underestimate him. Even the angels did not go against him. Jude 1:9. The angel Michael, an archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. Even Michael the archangel. Instead, he said, "The Lord rebuke you, not me." So we have to be sober in our minds, and we have to have them under control when we come into conflict with Satan. Now we have to recognize him. That's the second R. Because he's a great pretender. Oh, he is subtle, foe. And we have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard. Because his strategy is to counterfeit whatever God does. And he would easily deceive us if it was not for the Word of God and the Spirit of God within us. The better we know God's Word, the sharper our spiritual senses are to detect. That's Satan at work. So do not trust your material senses. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Wow. So what you're seeing is not what you're seeing. That's why Scripture says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. The third R, resist him. And he will flee from you. This means we take our stand. Stand on the Word of God and refuse to be moved. Unless we stand, we can't withstand. Soldiers don't fight by running away. They have to take a stand. We read about a guy in the Bible taking a stand. I think it was the Philistines coming to take over this field. And everybody ran away, and he's the only one standing in the middle of this field of lentils. And he says, "I will not move." And he slew all the Philistines. What are our weapons? God's Word and prayer. We pray every morning here because it is powerful. It is how things happen. It is how battles are won. Our protection, the complete armor of God. He provided it. You know it. It's in Ephesians 6. Helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. All that stuff. And we resist him with our faith in God. Just as David took his stand against Goliath, David trusted in the name of Jehovah. He says to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword? I come to you in the name of the Lord God, Jehovah." And we take our stand against Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll finish reading the chapter because I said I finished reading the chapter. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, so that kind of also reinforces you're going to suffer. Then it says perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you greet each other with a holy kiss? I have one brother in Christ I do that to. Well, two. Two brothers in Christ I do that to. They kiss me on the neck. And as I hug them, I kiss them on the neck. But we're going to close on a positive note after all this submission talk. Because God knows what he's doing. And he's in complete control. So no matter how difficult this fiery trial may become, we have hope. We have God's grace. Our salvation is because of his grace. He called us before we ever thought of him. And his grace is sufficient for us. We don't need anything more. As we submit to him, he gives us the grace that we need. We know where we're going. Oh, I got to pause there. Sorry. I was in a dentist's office last week. No. Lab. I was having labs done. And the tech taking me. And we got to talking, and she says, yeah, I hope I go to heaven. I said, oh, stop there. You hope? I says, you can know. You should know. Well, she said, my father was a pretty hard man, and he told me I'm going to hell. I says, all you got to do is submit, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll know where you're going. She didn't say anything. But Christ has called us to his glory. Eternal glory. We have this wonderful inheritance waiting for us. If we depend on God's grace when we suffer, that suffering will result in glory. The road may be difficult, but it's going to lead to glory. And we know that our trials are building Christian character. Wow, Christian character. When I attend a seminar or a lecture, in the beginning I listen really attentively and I hear every word. And then as the talking drags on, and I've been to a couple like that, my mind wanders. And then the text messages start coming in. Oh, I got to take this. Maybe I even doze off. I know, that doesn't happen here, I know. But that's why I like the review portion. Because if you slept through half of the message, and the review portion, you can catch up again. And so in conclusion here, what is the conclusion of 1 Peter chapter 5. Encouragement. He bids us to look to God. Because human teachers can only deliver a message. But God, he gives strength to obey. So we must look to Jesus, he says. We have to look away from the troubles that are all around us because they're only here for a moment. It's just a fleeting moment in our life. And we look to the author and the finisher of our faith because it's by grace we are saved. And God, he's the God of all grace. He will make us, verse 10, he will make us perfect. He will establish us. He will strengthen us. He will settle us. His church is built upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And He will build up each faithful Christian as a living stone on that foundation, so that when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow and they beat hard on your house, that house which is the shelter of your faithful little Christian soul, thanks be to God and through Jesus Christ, it will not fail. It will stand because it is built on the rock. We thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to come down in the form of a man, to suffer and die for us, and to take all our sins upon him, the past, the present, the future, the people that aren't even born yet. He took those sins on him and died and rose again, now sits at the right hand of you, the Father, and forever intercedes for us so that we have eternal life, salvation through him. Lord, we just thank you constantly for that. In Jesus' name, amen.